And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, it's that time of the week again where we take your questions that you have sent in and we get answers for those. And again, let me ask you to be patient. We have a lot of questions that have come in this week. Actually, this has been a very busy week with the choosing of a new pope to head up the Catholic Church. And I'm going to include an interview that Dad did with Mike Gendron, who has a ministry called Proclaiming the Word. And I want us to listen to that a little bit later. But we've had a lot of comments, a lot of questions that have come in specifically relating to the new pope and the picking of the pope by the Catholic Church. But we'll talk about that in a few moments. Just to remind you again, there's a lot of things. I know that if you're listening to our program, you've been to our Prophecy Today website. If you haven't taken advantage of everything that's on our website, I encourage you to do so. Make sure, and I'm looking at our website right now, and I did this last week. Again, I would just want to say to you that we are content providers. We provide content for people to go and look. We want you to study. Yes, we are involved in teaching eschatology, the study of the end times or the last days. That's our aspect of the body of Christ, our ministry to the body of Christ. And so we keep our eyes on what's happening on in the world. You know, if you've listened to our program, there's a long history. For the last 30 or 40 years, we have been involved with Israel, working there, being in the land, working as journalists. So we've had our feet on the ground, and we know Israel very well and have a lot of contacts there. I've been doing television programs and radio from that area of the world, and we are continually involved with it. So as we take a look at what's taking place around the world, we try to help you be aware of what's taking place so you can take a look at the events and decide for yourself, use wisdom and discernment. First aspect of that is studying God's Word and using the proper study methods to go about figuring out where we are in God's timetable, how close that we are. And with the events that are taking place in the world, we could determine that. Go to our website, take a look. I want to encourage you to listen to Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Fantastic program where the interviews that we do on our weekend program, Dad takes those complete interviews and then he puts them in and gives a little bit more information about where it fits in into God's plan and how it all relates and why we should be aware of what's taking place in these different parts of the world. We have our Prophecy Today radio network where you can listen to all of the weekend programs, our daily programs. We even have a 15-minute program that we have on the Bible Broadcasting Network, and we're so thankful that that network allows us to be on their 300-plus radio stations. We're also very thankful of all the radio stations that allow us to be on. We had a station call us the other day and wanted to know more about how they could get us on their radio program in their city, brand new station in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and 50,000 watts. And we just told them, listen, we provide, we're content providers. We provide the information for the body of Christ, for the community to be aware of where we are. There are a lot of churches today that prophecy, Bible prophecy, either they don't understand it or for one reason, or their eschatology is wrong, and they're not even interested in Bible prophecy anymore. And I think that's a very dangerous. God put over in his word and the way that he communicates with us, his holy word, his story to us from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, over a third of that, 30%, at least 30%, maybe more, is Bible prophecy. And it's put in his word so that we might know where we are on God's timetable and the urgency to be about the Lord's work, the things that are very important to God, and that we should be with an urgent attitude in our lives, an urgent state of mind, I would say, that we need to be busy about doing God's work. Bible prophecy encourages us. You know, every time I speak to young people, and I've used this analogy so many times, You know, if you started out on a trip, and most people that I know very few people that start out on a trip and don't have a final destination. If you ever do that, you know, Lord be with you, because if you don't have a final destination, you don't know how far you're going to travel. You can't plan your days. You can't plan, you know, your roads that you're going to be on. And there are people that I know that have started off and gone on these long walks and these long journeys with no thought of where they're going to end up. But most people I know, when they start out on a journey, a vacation, a business trip, or some sort of going somewhere, they have a final destination. You take a look. You pull out. Now, we used to pull out paper maps. Now today, with the advent of applications on our smartphones, we can pull those out, punch in where we're going, and we can follow that little blue line that will take us all the way to where our final destination is. And that's what keeps us going to those places. We don't get sidetracked. We don't turn down wrong streets. If you do, that application will tell you to turn around, make the first U-turn that you come to. Well, God's Word provides for us the roadmap to the final destination. We know where we're going. We have a plan. Sometimes people lose their way because they take their eyes off of that map, off of that roadmap, that laid out plan. And so, you know, as you study God's Word, use this as your final destination planner, and keep your eyes set on the mark and the prize and the final timeline that God has lined up for us. So that way that you can keep your way and you don't lose your way. You don't get sidetracked. Well, anyway, I'm getting off on another subject, but, as you look at our website, you can take a look at these. You can listen to them. You can find out what's taking place. We have the Prophecy Today TV, which is the video that of the week that we feature. We're starting a new series on the Book of Romans that Dad did with Mark DeHaan. I was there with him with the Day of Discovery television program. Fantastic series. I hope that you get a chance to take a look at it. We were in the a fighting arena in Jordan, in Jerash, Jordan, where they recreated the fights that took place. You'll like this. It's a very good series. Go to that. Take your time, watch that, listen to the different programs on our Prophecy Today radio online. We provide different teachers, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, Dr. John Wickham. Of course, all of our programs, parts and pieces of Dad's messages that he does that you can listen to, get a little sample of a series that he does, and then maybe go and order those online. I know a lot of people do that. They will listen to our network. All the top 10 news stories of the day. Of course, we have our brand new programs, PASS, our Prophetic Army of Senior Saints. We have people that are taking those programs now that are working through being able to equip themselves to become teachers, to become trainers of not only people in their own family, but those outside in Sunday school classes, and to take this information and take it and use it as God leads you in the different areas. There are basic principles for teaching Bible prophecy, and that can be taught to anybody so that anyone can take a look at Bible prophecy and understand what God is telling to us in His Word. Again, you have to use the proper Bible study methods, inductive Bible study, also the proper hermeneutic principles for studying God's Word. So all of those, we teach you to do that with PASS, our Prophetic Army of Senior Saints. Go on the sideline. You'll see it over there. It looks like a little camouflage. That's nothing to do with Duck Dynasty, for those of you that watch Duck Dynasty on TV. But this is camouflage. This is kind of our military aspect of joining the Army of Senior Saints to be equipped to go out and do God's Word. We have our Prophecy Today Premium Resource Center. Everything that we have or have had on our website in the past, we put in this location so that you can go through and take a look at those clips, video clips, audio clips, news articles, all kinds of different things that are on our Prophecy Today Premium Resource Center. Go take a look at that. Our latest offers that we have, our latest DVD series, our daily devotionals, the different areas, the different programs that are on BBN, radio network, just everything that we're doing. Plus, up at the top, we have our banner of our upcoming events, our Lancaster School of Prophets that's conference that's coming up. That's listed there. Our trips to Israel and Jordan. I was just talking with my brother the other day who works with us, and we're getting ready to put a trip to Turkey, going to the seven churches, teaching about the seven churches from the book of Revelation. Go to Joshua Travel and you'll see our list of trips that come up that you could be a part of. And if you want to be a part of a missions trip, hey, we have our Camp Monte program that's going on this summer to Montenegro. We need Bible teachers. We need basketball coaches. We need tennis coaches. We need, and but when I say coach, now don't feel like you have to be coaching on the collegiate level or even the high school level. But if you have the gift of playing, you are a high school player, you are a college player, we would love to have you come along with us and be a part. We need people that do all kinds of things at our sports camps and people to even teach English. It's a great time. Folks that want to minister, go to our website. You'll be able to check out all of that. Well, let's get right to some of our questions. Karen Todd sends in a question. She goes, I've long been interested in Bible prophecy and as much as possible keep an ear to events that seem to set the stage. I thought it was odd that the EU hasn't seemed to fit in the statue vision of Daniel. And that's the book of Daniel, chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of his vision of the statue. No matter how much we seem to watch and will it to. However, today I noticed that the United States is divided into 10 regions by FEMA. The Council of Governors allocates a leader to each region, as far as I understand, with President Obama probably leading the capital region one eventually. Seems like a perfect 10-toe scenario with the loose revival of the Roman Empire. 10 distinct regions and leaders to be usurped by the larger horn. I have only started my research, but wonder if you thought this interpretation appropriate. Well, I could tell you, Karen, if you listen to our weekend programs that we do, you need to listen to Rob Congdon. I could tell you that it's not going to be the United States. You have to use the proper hermeneutical principles when you're studying Bible prophecy and who was the author writing to at the time that he gave those prophecies. And if you look at the book of Daniel, it clearly states, we know who those Gentile world powers were in the statue. We know the revived Roman Empire, and don't try to make sense of where the EU is today. Again, we do think that the European Union is at least the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire. If you follow along and you listen, you'll see what's taking place. And Rob Congdon is a great one to listen to on our weekend radio program. He keeps an eye on the European Union and what is taking place there. We do see from Daniel 2, chapter 2, verses 41 to 44, Daniel chapter 7. You take a look at the description of this fourth empire, this the fourth beast or the feet on the statue of the 10 toes and of iron and clay. That is clearly the 10 region area that we look at as the revived Roman Empire. Take that and with Daniel chapter 9 and then Revelation chapter 13. I think it, you could put all these together, but I wouldn't put the United States in there, Karen, for that simple reason. And I would just keep every single day, every single week, there are things that are happening. And I think that you're going to see that all of a sudden the European Union is going to be talking about dividing themselves up and the borders of the revived Roman Empire that are going to come back into play, the Mediterranean regions. Each one of the regions coming into play will all be boiled down to 10 specific regions. But thank you, Karen, for that question. Thanks for sending that in to us. And keep listening. I would encourage you to listen to our weekend program. Rob Congdon has a lot to say about the European Union and the revived Roman Empire. Brother Nick Patterson sends in a question. He says, it was great meeting with you a few weeks back in Vestal, New York. He was talking to about meeting with Dad. I was the guy with the big head and fat face that you threw into the back of your truck to fix all the boxes. He puts laugh out loud there. That's why I'm laughing out loud. You might also remember me by living on Staten Island, and he was, we did for a long time. Dad had a radio station in New York City for the Salem Broadcasting Network, WNYM. I was one of his managers. That's where we got really involved in broadcasting to the Jewish people. I ran the Jewish programming there. 6 hours a night, Jewish programming to the Jewish, by contract, when we bought the station, that's what we had to do. But that gave us an inroad to the Jewish community. So that's part of our history and what we've done in the past. He says, I ordered tons of your material that day and have started to dive right into it. My email today is regarding some concern I have for this documentary going around After the Tribulation with Pastor Steve Adams. Also, some concern is the person he partnered up with on this movie, Mike Adams. Well, I just quickly, Nick, I took a look at the beginning of the YouTube video that's coming out, and he's talking about the problem with a pre-tribulational rapture. I would say use the trio of triplets that we use. You can't do away with that. The trio of triplets, of course, the three strands of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. The first 2,000 years of human history from Genesis 1 to Genesis chapter 12, there were only Gentiles on the earth. From Genesis chapter 12 until Acts chapter 2, there were Gentiles and Jews on the earth. And then in Acts chapter 2, until the rapture of the church, there will be Gentiles, Jews, and Christians on the earth. Then the three books of the Bible, Daniel for the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, great book to study. Ezekiel is a book for the Jewish people, giving them their timeline, what's going to take place with them in the future. And then the book of Revelation for the Christians. This book's premise is that he is taking scripture out of context. He's not using proper hermeneutical principles when he's putting together this movie and preaching against a pre-tribulational rapture. And pre-tribulational rapture means that we believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation period begins. I'm not sure why people want to spend as much time on this and why. He says at one point he used to believe in a pre-tribulational rapture and he changed. You know what? I would just encourage you to use the proper techniques and the proper hermeneutical principles for studying Bible prophecy. You've got to do that in all that you do. Get into trouble when you start mixing that up. You also, Nick, you mentioned about somebody, Alex Jones, who for years who's always taught fear, and there was no professional faith or doctrine. Again, you're so correct. If you look on a person's website, that is so very important. And God has given us a spirit of wisdom and discernment, and we need to use that. Sometimes we put that on a shelf and we just want to follow blindly. And again, that's why we teach people to understand and to study Bible prophecy, but use the proper techniques. You can argue anything that you want to, as long as you use the proper Bible study methods and techniques and principles when you are looking at Bible prophecy. So, Nick, thank you. Thank you again for helping my parents as they've been out on the road. You know, Dad is 72. They're coming back from Canada. They'll be on their road traveling today, actually coming back into the United States. I wish them Godspeed as they travel. He has been up there teaching at the Bible Institute at Word of Life Canada, teaching to the young people there, and they're coming back, and every church that they go to, there's always someone that is there that will help them unload their vehicle and put out their books and their DVDs and their CDs on the table. As Dad teaches, Mom will work the table. You know what? This is what God has given us to do. We're not a huge organization, but we work as hard as we can trying to make the best use of our time and what God has given us to do. And I thank my mom and dad for doing that. And as a consequence of them being true to what God has called them to do, I am following through in that. My brother follows through in that. We're both involved in the ministry. My sisters are involved. We look at that. Even our nephews. My nephew Josh is working at our studios in Chattanooga, Tennessee, being involved in helping us producing videos and our weekend radio programs that we do. My nephew Trent is overseas studying at the Bible Institute there. So he's leaving a legacy, and that's what we should all do as we are being about. And I'm sure, Nick, if you ever have a chance and you want to send a message to Pastor Steve, encourage him to use the proper techniques for studying Bible prophecy. But thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for helping out Mom and Dad as they've been on the road, Nick, and thank you for what you're doing. I'm trying to find that this comes from Tyrone Cox. I'm trying to find the names of the Old Testament countries and what are the names today. Maybe a map thing. Again, you can go back to the book of Genesis. We've always talked about this, where you get the people, the sons of Japheth, who Japheth was the son of Noah. As the countries are divided up, this is where they are divided up and where they go to after the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. These languages and the people and their families, they go to specific locations on the earth. And I think if you were to go back to Genesis chapter 10, we could take you there real quick. But all of them seem to originate from Genesis chapter 10. There are several good organizations out there that have these maps. I would go to Rose. I've said this before. Rose Publishing has a great map, Atlas of the Bible, that gives you the names of the Old Testament countries and what their names are today. Rose Publications is that website. You can Google that, go to there, take a look. They have PowerPoint presentations. They have inserts that you can buy. They even have atlas books that you can buy of maps that give you those countries, and you can take a look at all of those. And that's how we can help you with that question there. But thank you for sending that in, Tyrone. Go back. You can take a look at the book of Genesis and follow that through. That's where it gets all of its start, Genesis chapter 10. Again, we see those in Bible prophecy. We see that in Ezekiel 38. We see some of the same. We see the same countries that have begun in Genesis chapter 10. We see them come back up, and those are the countries that are in play today as we look at Bible prophecy. So thank you, Tyrone, for sending that question in. Why do so many people believe in a so-called general last judgment? Well, Janelle, I'm not sure of your question here. We do believe in a great white throne judgment, and that comes from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, and the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead." No one's going to escape this judgment. That's why we talk about the great white throne judgment, the last thing on God's timetable to take place. If you take a look at our trio of triplets, we'll go back to that, the timeline. We have the rapture as the next event that could take place. And we have a seven-year period of time, the tribulation period. Then the revelation of Jesus Christ that's talked about in Matthew chapter 24. Then after the revelation or the return of Christ to the Mount of Olives, then starts a thousand-year period of time called the millennial kingdom. That's when God sets up his kingdom on this earth. That's where Jesus Christ will rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem. King David will be a co-regent there in the city of Jerusalem. And that's the thousand-year period of time, the millennial kingdom that sets up. And then from there, after that thousand-year period of time, Revelation chapter 20, we look at the great white throne judgment. And that's where this event takes place. That's why we talk about it. And you can take a look at that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to verse 15. All those people that rejected Jesus Christ will be there, and that's where they will be cast eternally into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So Janelle, hope that helps you. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Steve Hoagland sends in a question. Dr. DeYoung, I have just read The Harbinger and was interested in your opinion of the book's interpretation of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, and as it relates to America. Steve, let me encourage you to go to our website. We have an interview that Dad did. Dad was the moderator between Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and Dave James, who is the dean of our online Bible School of Prophets that we have. Go there. Let me encourage you to listen to that. But I'll just tell you this, that Isaiah chapter 9 does not relate to America. And we have to use proper hermeneutical principles when interpreting Scripture. Who was the author writing to at the time that those passages were written? And it wasn't America. In fact, that's the most asked question in Bible prophecy, and I'll bring this up to you, and folks that have listened to us will know that the United States is not mentioned in Bible prophecy except for the fact in Zechariah where it says all the nations of the world will be gathered in the city of Jerusalem. The Antichrist will bring all the nations there to do battle, to try to destroy the city of Jerusalem. That's when Christ returns to the Mount of Olives, and shortly after that, the Battle of Armageddon takes place in the Jezreel Valley. But thank you, Steve, for sending that in. You're longtime friends of my parents, and your parents are longtime friends of my parents, Benji and Kay Hoagland. And so thank you, Steve, for sending that in. Hopefully that helps you. But I would say go to our website, listen to that interview, and you can determine for yourself. And also, Dave James has put out a good book that in response to The Harbinger, the book. And we've talked about that before on our radio program. What events will take place during the first 3 months of the 7-year tribulation period? Well, all of the first six of the sealed judgments will be opened and take place, which means in Revelation chapter 6, the man on a white horse, which is the Antichrist, he'll come into play. Then you have the man on a red horse, and we believe that that's the man on a red horse riding on a red horse is the man of war that's comes. We believe that that's the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 as it unfolds, as the Islamic world will come against Jerusalem, and God will take care of them, where 5/6 of the Islamic world will be wiped out. The third seal will be open, and I'll just read that in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And this is a horse that represents famine. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." This is the economic crisis for food, for famine on the earth. So that's the third seal. And then the fourth seal will be opened. And I heard the voice in verse 7 of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see," and behold, a pale horse, and the name who sat on him on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and the beast of the earth. And so that is the man of the riding the pale horse of death. That takes place, and a fourth of the world's population will be wiped out during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. By the way, the Antichrist sets up his headquarters in the city of Rome. When he appears, he establishes the false church in the city of Rome in that first 3.5 year period of time. So those are some of the things that take place. The Antichrist from Daniel chapter 9 confirms a peace treaty with Israel. This is actually the starting of the tribulation period, and allows the Jews to start rebuilding the temple that needs to be built, that needs to be standing. So at the midway point of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will be able to go in and desecrate, proclaim himself to be God, turn his back as being the savior, so to speak, little s savior of the Jewish people, the Antichrist will turn his back on the Jews, and two-thirds of the Jewish people will be wiped out. A third will flee to the wilderness. That's when this takes place. And we go back, let me take you back to the book of Revelation, the fifth seal. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Those are the tribulation saints. I believe that you'll see the two witnesses that will start preaching in the city of Jerusalem, be actually preaching from the Temple Mount area in the city of Jerusalem. 144,000 male virgin Jews will, that's talked about in Revelation chapter 7, they will start, they will become evangelists and travel the earth and preach the gospel, and many people will come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Now, again, those are only people that haven't had a chance or the opportunity to accept Christ as their personal Savior or before. Those are the qualifications. They've heard the message, the gospel message. They had the opportunity to accept Christ, and they rejected. Those people will not have an opportunity to be saved during a tribulation period. It's only those people that have never heard the gospel message. Or if they had heard the gospel message, they didn't understand what it meant, but they hadn't consciously rejected Jesus Christ, as talked about in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I would just keep all that in mind as you are studying. Janelle, again, thank you for this question. But as you take a look at that, you'll understand all the things that are going to take place in those first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And then at the midway point, Satan is cast out of the heavenlies. And from that point on, things the remaining 14 judgments take place, which they intensify with each judgment that unfolds. And it gets even worse in the last 3.5 years. But that's what takes place in the first 3.5 year period of the tribulation. Thank you, Janelle, for sending in that question. We got a question that came in. It says, first, let me thank you for fighting the good fight. This comes in from Jay Sansom. Thank you for fighting the good fight. I greatly enjoy your daily segment and your weekend show. Thank you for your knowledge, your discernment, and the love of Christ that you display. A friend of mine was telling me about a book that states Psalm 83 is a missing prophecy that deals with a group that moves against Israel. This war will be won by Israel, and they will be the major power in the Mideast. This even will also kickstart the end times. I would appreciate any clarification on this topic. Well, this is a very important psalm, Psalm 83, in the last day scenario, Jay. And this is found in the in Bible prophecy. It's combining this chapter, Psalm 83, along with Daniel chapter 11 and Ezekiel 38. And each one of those will give you an understanding of how the nations will align themselves against the Jewish state of Israel in the last days. That's that man on a red horse that we talked about. We believe that's Ezekiel 38 and 39. But I must remind you that there is no prophecy of private interpretation. And we've talked about that before. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Therefore, these three passages of prophetic scripture that I've talked about, and many other passages in God's word, enlighten us as to how the nations form a coalition to destroy Israel in the last days. In Psalm 83, the psalmist is actually praying, and the very first verse sets the scene for what is the theme of that prophetic passage. The psalmist really wants the Lord to awaken to the fact that these nations are making plans to try to remove Israel from the face of the earth. And boy, have we heard that. I mean, just following on our website, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, has said that often, and that has now become the phrase that it's repeated throughout all the Islamic nations. And so therefore, in Psalm 83, the psalmist wants God to protect Israel and destroy the attacking enemy. Verses 2 and 3 record the prayer alerting the Lord of the enemies of Israel, and thus the enemies, they are enemies of the Lord himself, relaying to him that these enemies are ready to go after Israel, having developed a plan. Man, we don't see that today happening. that is where we are. That's why we keep our eyes on this alignment of nations. Verse 4 in Psalm 83 states that these enemies of God and Israel want to destroy Israel so that the name of Israel will no longer be remembered. By the way, verse 4 is almost a quote from the Iranian president today in his speech to over 4,000 Arab and Islamic leaders in Tehran when he called for Israel to be wiped off the face of the earth. These are the names of the enemies of Israel that you will recognize. This kind of goes back. Maybe it can help us with Tyrone's question when he asked some of the names. Edom in verse 6 is the Palestinian people of today. Good documentary that we did on that is the tracing of Esau to the Palestinian people of today. The Ishmaelites of the same verse are the people of Saudi Arabia. And Tyre is listed in verse 7 is the modern day Lebanon. I mean, you know, I've given you enough names of the nations who are today preparing to join together in this alignment to come together to wipe out the Jewish states. We are living really in basically Psalm 83, these nations mentioned, plus those mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and Daniel 11, are making ready for their attack on Israel, even this very moment. And this weekend we'll find out how close, much closer we are to this event to take place. And so it just shows us, you know, with the nearness of this coalition that's coming together with some of the things that we've talked about today, it just shows us how much closer that we are. And all of these events take place after the rapture of the church. You know, Nick asked a question about a guy that is putting together a video of about debunking this pre-tribulational wrath. One of the reasons for the rapture, it's an imminent event. We are to live our lives ready and prepared to go at any moment. One, because the Lord could take us home. And again, we're living our world at His disposal, whatever He wants to do. If He chooses to take us home, we need to be ready and prepared to do that at this very moment. That means living pure and productive in all that we do. But should the Lord not take us home, through death, then we are living and we're waiting for the rapture to take place at any moment. That's one of the motivational factors for us to live our lives in a pure way, in a productive way, and doing what God has commanded us to do. Essentially, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, to study all that we can, and to be all that we can be. That sounds like a commercial, but to be all that we can be, to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, to give an account for what we believe in, but to live productive, to love our neighbors, ourselves, to be able to tell others. God could have chosen the stars in the heaven to spell out, "Ye must be born again." He could have made the trees sing songs about salvation comes from the Lord. But no, He chose us to live our lives on this earth, to be more Christ-like in everything that we do, and then to tell others about what Jesus Christ came to this earth to do. And so that's what we are to do, and that's why we live our lives, and we expect the rapture to take place at any moment. With folks that try to debunk this pre-tribulational rapture, listen, in God's Word, He lays out the timeline. In Daniel chapter 9, in the book of Revelation, He lays out the timeline, specific days. So people that want to throw all that away, you know, we can live whatever way we want to. And then when the time comes, then, you know, decide that, okay, I see this is happening because this is what it says in the Bible is going to take place. It's happening as it says. So now I know that I have 3.5 years to get ready. So you understand what I'm saying? We are to live our lives expecting the Lord to return at any moment, to be ready, to be pure, to be productive. That's why we believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, not only because we can find it and understand it in God's Word, but living that way, living that the Lord could return at any moment and take us home. He's into the heavenlies. He could take us home at any moment. It really motivates us to live a pure and productive life. Thank you, Jay, for sending in that question. We are to be ready to be pure and productive as to how we live our lives and to be ready for God to come at any moment. We've had a couple questions. Thank you, Will. Will and Sandy sent in a question about the chronological order of Revelation, which we give you, and you can take a look at that in our book of Revelation that we have done, Revelation, a Chronology. But Will and Sandy asked about the chronological order of the Bible. Again, I would say, and Will, you sent us back a note. Sorry we didn't get to your question, and you Googled it and you found it. Well, that's the best way to find some information. But you can go. There are many different publications where you can find about the chronological order and reading the Bible in that way. Two more questions. Ronald Maisto sends in a question. He's, hi, Jimmy. This is a question for Q&A on Thursdays. In Ezekiel 44, 28 to 31, it seems that the priests are to eat the offerings brought into the temple. In verse 31, it talks of the eating of animal meat, but not if they died naturally or have been torn by wild beast. My question is, will it be permissible for other people in the kingdom age to eat any meat, or will we have to be vegetarians? Ronald, that's a great question. You know what? All I could do is what I see from Scripture as I was reading through that portion. It talks about what will be taking place. The priest can eat the meats. That is clearly laid out. My guess is I don't see anything in Scripture where it says what we will be eating. I know that we'll be eating, we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, then we'll be eating for the thousand-year period of time. A lot of people will be eating from the fruits. We know that the tree of life will be there in the new city of Jerusalem. We know certain things. We know that some of the practices, the priestly practices, will be done again. Of course, they will be partaking. I'm not sure why we wouldn't be able to. Of course, it could go back to the conditions of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve eating off the fruit of the land. So that's a good question, Ronald. I'll try to get to Dad and see if he can answer that. I don't know that answer. We hate to always say that. Just from what I've seen, from what you've read, and from what I can read. It's just a question that's never come up before. Man, I guess we don't need to eat steaks in the millennial kingdom. I'm sure going to miss them, but I'm sure that there will be a lot of other things that we'll take up, and we won't even miss the steaks if we're not going to have them there to be a part of. A question comes in from Jennifer. Jennifer, what is the best Bible version to be studying, and what brand? Well, let me just tell you this, and you ask any pastor, you'll get lots of different answers. Dad uses a King James Version of the Bible. He uses a Scofield version with the Scofield notes in it. Also, he always refers to DeYoung's notes in a Scofield version, the King James Version of the Bible. There are plenty. Dr. Ryrie has the King James Version with his notes. He also has, I use the New King James. I just like the way that it reads, and I started using that in college. I know that my dad started using his Bible in college before that, but that's the one that he started. He has a Bible that is used for all these years. There are a couple good. I would just be very careful what you use. There's a lot of people that like to use the English Standard Version. There are a couple, the New American Standard Version. I can only tell you what I use, but if you ask all kinds of different pastors, they'll give you any number of different versions of the Bible to use. Make sure that a good version to stick with, a good quality, is the New King James. Kind of updates the King James Version of the Bible and gives you just a few changes, but not a whole lot. There are so many that have been revised versions of the Bible, I would stick with the New King James. And that, you can't go wrong with that. That's a good quality version of the Bible. Well, thank you so much for your questions this week. Again, we'll try to get to them as many as we can. There's so many more that have come in. We'll try to update those. We'll try to get back with Dad next week on our program of Prophecy Q&A. You know, I know always every week we take a look at everything that's taking place, and really, you can't help but take a look at what's happening in the world and think that the rapture of the church is not far off. After taking a look at all of these things, there's nothing else left for us to say except let's keep looking up until...